Y'all ready to bust the move? Y'all ready to bust the rhyme? Y'all ready to bust up laughing? Well, I hope you are, because it's potty time.
You know, there's something you should know, so I'm gonna tell you so. Don't sweat it, forget it, enjoy the show.
Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I am your host, Phil Gonzalez. I am your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week we have been covering some topics that I am not an expert on. We've been talking about things that are completely foreign, alien to me, as far as like the ins and outs of the wherewithal, the what's in the who's in the house. I'm talking about teaching. I don't know anything about that. Being outside and camping. I don't know anything about that. Being a parent. No clue. But this week, I promise you, I am more than a solid expert on this subject. That's right, because this week's book is the Berenstain Bears, the baby Berenstain Bears book, Potty Time. It's about using the toilet. It's about going to the bathroom. And if you ask any member of my family what I am good at, they will say sitting on the toilet, because that's what I do most of my time. Now, you might think that's a funny thing to say. You might think that that's a hilarious thing to say, to make jokes about. I know that TV sitcoms think it's just hilarious that men of a certain age spend a lot of time in the bathroom sitting on the toilet. And when I was a kid, I admit, I thought it was pretty funny when you would hear a toilet flush on a TV show because dad was in the bathroom. Then I got to my age, which is 49 years old, and I was like, oh, this all makes sense now. Because stuff just stops happening when you want it to anymore. Like, it just stops. The functions start. Potty time is not the relaxing, like, easygoing, like, fun time it was when I was a kid. It's more of a grueling ordeal at times. Or just, like, a mystery. Like, just what's going to happen today? How is everything going to come out today? I don't know. What form? This is far more information you need to know. What I'm saying is, it's not funny. Stop making jokes about it. Very sensitive about it. Yes, it takes me a long time in the bathroom. I was at work, and I had to run to the bathroom. I was like, I'll be right back. And then I guess I was in there longer than expected, because when I returned, my coworkers were like, hilarious. It's hilarious. Wow, we thought you got lost down there. Something like that. And I was like, in my mind, I didn't say this out loud, because seriously, but in my mind, I was like, I don't have much control over this part of my life anymore. Like, this isn't something I'm making choices about. You just got to kind of let go and let whatever. So, that's it. But it's not proving, though, that I am an expert on potty time, toilet time, tinkle time. Going number one, going number two, I'm your boy. So, potty time. Baby Berenstain Bears. So the baby Berenstain Bears. Let's talk about these baby Berenstain Bears. So this is not the first time we have discussed toilets or sitting on them or children learning how to use them. However, the last time we talked about this was in 2020, beginning of the pandemic, when I decided to start covering the previous books in this series known as the awkward, I mean, and this is something that my fully agrees with, the awkwardly titled Berenstain Baby Bears, My Potty and I, A Friend in Need, which is the strangest, weirdest thing to call a friend. I remember being very confused at the time why it was called A Friend in Need, but was the potty the friend? But this is part of the Berenstain Baby Bears board book series published by Random House in 1999 that Mike freely admits was a mistake, was a bad idea, was a bad choice. They thought they were onto something. Of course, it makes sense to make board books for the Berenstain Bears. Why not focus them on the readers of board books, which are dumb babies who don't understand anything and will want to chew on it, which is why you make the board book. So they went with topics that would be of interest to a baby, I guess, using the bathroom, sitting in a car seat, taking turns, something like that. But it's been a while since I've discussed these. But My Potty and I, which is the weirdest time in the world to go fully grammatically correct, but My Potty and Me sounds better. But I understand. They were like, no, it's my potty and I. You would think it'd be like more. My potty and I sounds weird. It sounds too pedantic. Saying I and my potty would make more sense, but also a baby's not going to talk like that. So they went with my potty and I, and it was literally narrated. It's sort of a poetry rhyming book. It was just to remind everyone what it was about. It was about this baby bear. Remember the Berenstain Baby Bears? Terrible name for a series, by the way. As Mike says, should have just been Baby Berenstain Bears from the start. Berenstain Baby Bears were not about the bear family always. Sometimes they were about the bear family, but they were usually about the sort of vague bear family that existed in another continuity or just another part of the neighborhood that had a baby that they were trying their darndest to raise to be a decent person, I guess. This was just a book where the baby was like, I like to use the toilet. I like to go to the potty. And he had like a little baby potty, a training toilet. And the whole plot was like, sometimes I pee myself, but I never poop myself much anymore. I sometimes get tied up watching their version of Teletubbies. I sometimes get caught up watching the TV and I don't want to go to the bathroom and I pee my pants. But my parents are cool with that, but I never poop my pants anymore, except sometimes. And then I dump it in the, and then it goes dumped into the toilet. And when I do remember to dump in my own potty, my parents throw a party. And one day, the big toilet's gonna be happy when I poop in its mouth, I guess is the plot. That's something like that. I'm gonna poop in the big toilet and then it'll be like amazing. And that was it. And the whole idea was like, sometimes you still have accidents, little kid, but we're all learning and you're gonna be a big boy one day. That's it. This book. This week's, so the Berenstain Baby Bears was a bomb, and many people consider them some of the worst books. I like the Berenstain Baby Bears. I think they have a lot of good, I think they're kind of funny, and they have a pretty wry sense of humor, a very Stan and Jan Berenstain-esque sense of humor. But again, as Mike said, the problem was that they didn't focus on any of the characters we all knew and loved, and they were called the Berenstain Baby Bears, which is just a hard thing to remember. Also, if you're going to call it the Berenstain Baby Bears, well, I guess if you could also call it the Baby Bear. There is an implication when you put baby in a familiar name that you're going to have baby versions of your main characters. Baby Berenstain Bears, I guess, also sounds like that. But Berenstain Baby Bears really does sound like they're doing something crazy with our character. It'd be like baby mama and papa or something. Not the case with this. So what Mike said in our last interview was he was like, the Baby Berenstain Bears is about sort of the younger characters in Bear World. And there's a couple of them. It gives more of a leading role to Honey, who's still not much of a talker, but it also brings in our newest baby character, Teddy. Teddy, who is the new baby of Aunt Men and Uncle, whichever uncle they have now, Cousin Fred's new little sister, who is essentially the Honey Bear of the series now. Now that Honey is like a kindergarten age child, still doesn't talk much. Teddy is now filling that role. And so we have the first book I'm covering in the Baby Berenstain Bears series, Potty Time. I keep wanting to call it It's Potty Time because I do bust a move and I do bust a rhyme and I do bust out laughing. So it makes sense that it would be potty time. What is this book about? Oh, is there a plot? Of course there is a plot. This is the modern era. It's 2025. Let's get our buckles in gear and our belts strapped around our waist. And let's see what's happening in this book about toilet fun. Here we go. So there is no electronic version of this book, so I had to scan it myself. I don't know why there's no e-version. Like, this seems like these seem like pretty obvious books to release digitally because you just would have them on your phone. If your kid's like, read me a story, you just whip them out and just like play. Like, you don't need to like hit the kid over the head. I mean, obviously, I do have these books, which, of course, I can't find. I can find one of them. This is not the one I'm covering. I have Nap Time right here. They're hard books. Knock on book. Huh? These are hardback books. No digital version. So the plot in this book is that, and these are beautifully illustrated. I really like the way these look. Very cute, very cartoony, very, very sort of, I like the lush imagery. I like the watercolory nature of the color. So the plot is that sister, brother, and honey have gone to visit their cousins, which is funny because don't the cousins live just down the street? It's just funny to say they are visiting their cousins. Well, obviously, they probably visit their cousins every day. Cousin Fred and brother are in the same class, but we're not going to talk about that right now. They are playing at their house, brother and sister, cousin Fred, honey, and little Teddy. And what are they playing with? It looks like the Berenstain Bears version of the classic Fisher-Price farm set, which I had as a kid. Not the new one with the new little people that came out, but the original one with the original little people. And like the little plastic fence you put up around it. And you had a tractor, you had cows and chickens. You had a horse that lifted its head up. You opened the barn doors and it went moo. Right? Also at a silo. What's funny, though, is that we have cousin Fred assembling, like putting the silo together. We have sister holding a tractor. We have Honey and Teddy look so similar. I think Honey is always dressed in green. Teddy is always dressed in yellow. Honey has a heart on her headband. Teddy has a flower on her headband. That is how you tell them apart. Honey is playing with what looks like a cow or a dinosaur? I can't actually tell from the illustration. But Honey is playing with some cows. But what's funny is brother is walking in from off stage and he has a box where he's bringing in more like accoutrement to go with this Fisher-Price farm set. More figures, just more stuff to add to it. In his box is what appears to be yet another silo. I like that he was like, hold up. I'm going to run home. I'm going to grab our Fisher-Price or whatever, Fisher-Bear farm set. We need more silos for this bad boy. They're going to be, when I play farm, I ensure that my characters have more than enough grain to last them. This is end days, people. We need to make sure this silo is full to the gills. In fact, we need two silos. In fact, we need silos in what appears to be in the box some sort of guest house. Also, a gigantic donkey. And meanwhile, Aunt Men and Uncle, I don't know his name, are in the background, like, doing dishes or putting dishes away, but they're also dressed for travel. Like, Aunt Men is wearing a travel coat and a hat and a scarf. And she has earrings in, and Uncle whoever it is has like a turtleneck and a jacket on, but they're putting dishes away. I'm like, folks, stick around, like stay around. You're not leaving the house imminently. Like you can hang your coat up. You don't need, why are you wearing a turtleneck and jacket indoors, sir? I don't know. But they enjoy playing there. Now, that's our setup. Like our setup is, they like playing with Fred and little Teddy. And they seem to. They're having a good time. Remember, brother Bear and sister Bear, good kids. Understand that they are not always going to be able to play the games they want to play. They have the patience and the understanding and the like sibling know-how to know that sometimes you got to put away your video games, put away your dolls, and play with the Fisher-Price farm. We can all have fun together, regardless of age. There's a good way. They set a good example on how to play intergenerationally with other kids younger than them. Something I had to do when I was a kid, because the neighborhood kids would just always sort of gather, and we ran the gamut from like age 10 to like age 2. So you kind of had to figure out things that everyone would enjoy playing. And I'd say brother and sister set good example of that. But there is this sort of jarring tonal, like, narrative shift after the first pages. They like to play with Fred and little Teddy. You turn the page and it just immediately jumps right into Teddy is still wearing pull-up diapers, but she's ready to learn to use the potty. There's no like buffer here. It's not like you don't see her being like, oh, in the middle of play, suddenly Teddy has to go to the bathroom and then Teddy still wears. But maybe there was originally some pages here, but because we're limited, because this is a board book, we had to like cut some of the plot out. I don't know why the narrator is just like, you're probably wondering what's on under those pull-up overalls. Well, it's a pull-up diaper. And if you're not familiar with pull-up diapers, if you never raised kids, you never changed diapers, pull-ups are like the step after diapers. You have diapers which sort of fasten on the sides, but then you have pull-ups, which are just, they're basically diapers, but you can pull them, they slip on like underwear. Controversial. As a matter of fact, the nature of the pull-up, because they were so the idea is that disposable diapers have made it so, and the more absorbent disposable diapers become, especially, they've made it so that children are less inclined to stop using them. The idea being that regular diapers, cloth diapers, are incredibly leaky, incredibly terrible and hard to deal with, but they're also incredibly uncomfortable. So children are more inclined to want to learn to get out of them, to stop using them, because it's terribly uncomfortable when they get filled. And absorbent diapers, it's less noticeable, and a child is more than happy to pee into an absorbent diaper repeatedly because they don't feel uncomfortable. They get a little more bulky, but it doesn't feel bad against their body, against their skin. And so the idea was the diaper manufacturers were essentially like, we can extend the life beyond what children had been wearing. So diapers become, so you stop having the discomfort issue, but then kids are like, I don't want to wear diapers anymore. That's what babies wear. So then diaper companies invented pull-ups and started advertising them as like, look, you're a big kid now. In fact, the commercials for the original pull-ups were, mommy, wow, I'm a big kid now. Isn't that what the original, like, yeah, like I can pull out my diaper all by myself. It's not a diaper, it's a pull-up. The idea being we can extend the life of the customer, the disposable diaper customer, by extending the age of the diaper wearer. So now not only are they not uncomfortable to wear, they are a sign of pride for the child. Now you can say like, oh, you're a big kid now. You can pull up your own diaper. Well, that kid's even less inclined to want to graduate to regular underwear, because a regular underwear isn't necessarily meant to be disposable. You will throw out quite a few pairs of underwear, parents, by the way. There will be accidents. It's the insidiousness of the pamper industry, the insidiousness of the diaper industry, is to create customers who you can continue selling to beyond what they used to be. So kids started adopting potty usage later and later with the introduction of disposable diapers. So Teddy is wearing pull-ups. That's where we are in the plot. But she is ready to learn to use the potty. She is emotionally ready to learn to use the potty. And that's another thing. A child has to be emotionally, personally ready to start using the potty. There's many different reasons. We're going to see one pretty good example in this book of a motivating factor for a little child to start using the potty. They don't have the same level of like embarrassment that an older child would with using diapers. We covered that. But one of the great motivators is what we're going to see with little Teddy here. So Teddy's potty, and it's a potty, is in the bathroom. And by potty, I mean a training toilet, like a little plastic training toilet. It's cute. It's short. It's round. It's comfortable looking. It's got bunnies on it. And Teddy's potty's in the bathroom. We see Teddy looking into the toilet. So the toilet is in the foreground, as if it was a delicious cup of cappuccino being served. Like you're about to sip. But it's not a cup of cappuccino. It's a toilet that has been filled with excreta and other forms of human waste. You would not put your mouth on it. Get that idea out of your head. So It's in the foreground. Teddy is standing, looking at it with like her finger in her mouth. She's sort of staring confusedly or like distrustfully at this toilet. And then behind her in this beautiful display is Aunt Men and Uncle whatever his name is, Cousin Fred, brother, sister, and Honey Bear sort of spread a peacock arrayed behind her, like, oh, like looking over her shoulders at this toilet themselves. I don't know if they're amazed at the toilet or if they're amazed at Honey or Teddy's amazement at the toilet potty. Sorry, it's not a toilet, it's a potty. But it's there. It's there in the bathroom. They continue to stare at her as she sits on the potty. She's trying it out. It's just her size. I assume this is a flashback. She's tried this potty out before. She's sitting on it, not bare butt, just in her clothes. She's just trying the potty. A vital part of learning to be comfortable with a toilet is sitting on the toilet. I'm going to admit something right now. Neither of my children used a training toilet. Willow, when she was this age, she would have to use the bathroom, and instead of putting her on a training toilet, because I was home all day with her, I would just sit her on the adult toilet. And I mean, I would hold on to her, but I would sit her on the adult toilet. And I remember the first time she did it. She used it. She was not happy to be up there. It was like, what is happening? Because you're used to everything just sort of being contained. To drop your droppings into open air is a weird feeling, I assume, the first time. I don't remember it. But I remember she couldn't hold it in, and so she used the toilet. Willow, I know you're not listening to this, but I hope you don't mind me telling the story of your first toilet dump. But she did it, and it surprised her. And then she was like, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. You just used the toilet like a big kid. And she was thrilled. And from that moment on, she wanted to do it. Because it was like sort of this like, oh my God, I just leveled up as a human being. So she totally skipped the training toilet, which is good because I don't think we had one. I did not ever want to mess with that. Mitzi, meanwhile, spent most of her days at her incredible daycare provider, Linda, who was... and was surrounded by older kids. And that's where we're going to get into the technique that comes into play here. So Teddy really likes using this toilet, or sitting on this potty. She fits. But then Honey has to go to the bathroom. And she uses the big toilet. She's in school. She's an older kid now. She has her book about dinosaurs. She hauls her book in, drops trow, sits on the toilet. Couple of things. First of all, we do get to see a Berenstain Bear sitting on the toilet. That's always a treat, I guess, an amazing thing. As a cartoonist, Mike has to be like, okay, I'm going to draw a character on the toilet. Not something you have to do that often as an illustrator, unless that's what you draw, but not something that most people draw that often. So you have to be like, what's the angle? How am I going to avoid showing too much like bare skin or legs or bare fur? How can I do this tastefully while also telling the story without like seeming also like it's a shameful thing? We got to hide this, but also ensuring children understand there's privacy involved. I know we're going to show her from a weird angle from behind over the shoulder, but also Teddy needs to witness this happening. So we're just going to leave the bathroom door hanging wide open to the entire living room. It's a choice, Honey Bear, to leave the bathroom door hanging wide open to the stairs, to the living room, to the entranceway, allowing Teddy to watch you read a book on the toilet. Okay. But we're normalizing behaviors here. We need Teddy to witness this occurring. So Honey goes to the bathroom. She uses the big toilet. She washes her hands. Well, she uses some toilet paper, clean up her mess. Then she washes her hands. We see her standing on a stool step, washing her hands at the sink. This is in the background, because in the foreground, we're looking over the shoulder of little Teddy, gazing wistfully at the hand washing occurring. Little baby potty to one side, gigantic toilet to the other. This is a process. This is ringing some bells, and like you could see the wheels start to turn in little Teddy's heady. And then Honey Bear walks out. Now Honey Bear walks out, book in hand, eyes closed, hands on hips. Teddy looks up to her cousin. She wants to be just like Honey. Honey is striking the proudest pose. Like, I just dumped a dumpski in the toilet, washed my hands. I'm young enough that that's still a pretty big deal in these parts. I'm pretty freaking proud. Either A, she knows Teddy's there, so she's like, I'm gonna strut my stuff a little bit. Hey, Teddy, I'm a few ounces lighter and a whole lot prouder. Or this is us seeing this scene sort of through the eyes of Teddy. Like, Teddy's like, if I were Honey, I would be the proudest bear in Bear World. Because Teddy is clutching her hands like, my hero. And she has this look of wistful look on her face. She's also got a high pony, which is a pretty bold fashion choice. I appreciate the high pony on Teddy. And Honey is just proud as can be. When do you age out of the ridiculous Berenstain Bear headband, I wonder? Honey still has hers in. I wonder when you get rid of that. Is that her ceremony? Do you graduate out of the headband? Some cubs still wear a headband, but it's not the Care Bears symbol indicator headband. It's just a solid headband. Is that serving some sort of medical purpose in Bear World? Does it hold their skull together? Questions we're still asking. So jump ahead. Like, there's a little bit of a narrative blip again. Like, a little bit of a narrative jump. It says, it just, so Teddy wants to be just like, honey, next scene, Teddy uses the body. Like, that's the narrative. Teddy uses the body. Holy Grabonzo, Teddy uses the body. She's sitting on the toilet, reading a book. Jumpsuit, jumper around her, not jumper, that's in England, a jumper is a sweater. Jumpsuit around her ankles. Honey is, like, shot, standing there in the bathroom. Like, apparently, Honey's, like, on her way out the door. Teddy, like, shoves past her, undoes her strap, sits on the toilet, and just unloads into the bowl. Or not the toilet, it's the potty. Unloads into the bowl. The sound of flushing bowels causes sister or honey to whip around, tossing her book, I guess, hands to her cheeks. Oh my goodness. The amount this baby bear was holding into herself. Apparently, Teddy hasn't used the bathroom in ages. And sister is there, or not sister, I can't keep all these, there's so many cubs now. Honey is aghast at the volume of solid and liquid waste emptying into this bowl, which is probably, based on its size, brimming with baby bear garbage. Also, I want to point out that Teddy has also taken a book with her onto the toilet. Full thick spine chapter book, it looks like. It's, this little baby is reading, I mean, at least this, it might be Travels with Charlie. Something not like a full solid novel length, but a novella length hardback. She uses the potty. Her parents rush in. They help her use the toilet paper. They help her wash her hands. They're all very proud. Everyone is so proud of Teddy. She is a big bear now. In the final image is her parents, Aunt Min, Uncle whatever his name is, hugging Teddy so hard. And we see Honey and Fred and brother and sister standing in front of the bathroom, toilet, potty in the background. They're like pumping their fists. Yay. Very supportive. The point that I was going to make, though, is that it is demonstrated that it is Teddy's admiration of Honey that leads her to use the potty successfully for the first time, apparently. And this ties back into what I was saying about Mitzi. So Mitzi she attended Linda's daycare for a few years, but from like infancy, from like 6 weeks or however old she was when Alana had to return to work, on until until she was like four and necessarily learned to use the potty there because she was surrounded by older kids, not necessarily Honey Bear's age, not 5 years old, but like 3 and 4, because she was surrounded by these older kids, she quickly wanted to be like them and she admired them and she looked up to them. And it was them using the bathroom by themselves, them not using diapers anymore, that pushed her, not like unwantedly, but like sort of motivated her to adopt the toilet as her mode of waste disposal. And I remember her, like Linda, also working with her on using the toilet, but it was that sort of, not peer pressure in a negative way, but that peer pressure to become a toilet user that encouraged Mitzi to do it. So this book is right on the mark about that. Like, it's frequently like, if you can set an example for a kid of someone successfully doing something who's a little bit older than them, then that's a good motivator. The same thing happened with me when I went to the dentist. My friend Andy went to the same dentist. He was a little younger than me. And I remember that his mom or the doctor or someone brought him in and said, "Can Andy see you sitting in the seat?" And it helped. He actually, it relaxed him to see me, a friend of his, a little older, calmly sitting in the dentist chair waiting for my appointment to begin. Good example. Good example, Mike. So that is the Berenstain Bears potty time. Listen to the rhythm. Listen to the rhyme. It's potty time. Berenstain Baby Berenstain Bear book from this year. Is it a good book? I think so. I think it's a successful book. It's very short. You flip through, like, I think you turn the pages 7 times and you're done. But it is gorgeously illustrated. Mike's really put in the work. It's very similar to the work he did on Gifts of the Spirit series. It's got that sort of classic storybook look to it. The characters are delightfully drawn. He clearly likes writing for these little cubs. And I think that's cool. I think it's cool that he's found new characters to focus on, that he's that he's enjoyed putting this together. He sounded very hopeful about them. So if you have little kids, so far, I mean, I'm going to be getting to the book about taking, maybe it all falls apart with the nap book. I don't know. But as far as the potty book, very good. Very good times were had reading this one. So that's it. That is the Berenstain, the baby Berenstain Bears potty time. If you want to hear more stories about me using the bathroom, come see my one man show, Phil Gonzalez Potty Time. No, I don't have a show about using the toilet. Maybe I should. I seem to talk about it quite a bit. But thank you for joining me. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. If you're watching this on YouTube, I thank you so much for supporting me. If you're in Elgin, Illinois, or nearby later this month, I will be at the Elgin Fringe Festival performing my show Trust Exercises. So if you're there, come check it out. If you're not, I guess drive to Illinois and come see me in Trust Exercises at the Elgin Fringe Festival at the end of September. I'll be there. Otherwise, keep on keeping on, sitting on that toilet, flushing them bowels, and I'll see you all next time, deep in Bear Country.
Working all day, now it's time to unwind. Kick back, relax, take a load off your mind. I'll be busting the moves and I'll be busting the rhymes. We'll be busting